Hello and welcome to Filling the Sink, a podcast from Catalan News. My name is Leah Bilaeva, and today we're talking about the upcoming Catalan election. On March 18th, the Catalan president, Pere Aragonès, announced that he would dissolve the Catalan parliament and call for an early election. The announcement came after Aragonès failed to secure a majority to pass the 2024 budget. So here we go again. The Catalan election will be held on Sunday, May 12th, a full 9 months before it was supposed to take place. Today we will look into how we got where we are now. We will also get to know all the presidential candidates, and we will answer the question, what does a casino that doesn't exist yet have to do with all of this? I'm joined today by Gerard Descaches-Folch and Gifre Jordan.
Hello.
Welcome to both of you.
Oh, hello. I'm very pleased to be here. Thank you very much.
It's been a while since you were back.
Too much. It's been too much.
Well, I'm glad that you're both here. And I'd actually like to start with you, Gifre, because you are from our data department. And you wrote on Twitter that it's been more than 14 years since Catalonia last had a government that lasted the full 4 years. And in addition to that, in the 21st century, Catalans have only held two elections when it was actually time to hold them. So, Gifre, what's going on?
It's mad times. I mean, yeah, it's true that the last regular election was back in 2010. It was after a full four-year mandate. I think from 2010, what has shaped Catalan politics is the independence push, because a lot of parties have changed their minds in this topic. Some parties have suffered from some division. We've seen some parties disappear. We've seen some coalitions that were the norm that were no longer compatible. It's been very, very difficult to find common ground and long-standing coalitions.
I see. And then lately, in this year specifically, there was also a problem about the budget.
Yeah, money was kind of a big deal for En Comú Podem and the Socialist and Esquerra Republicana, the governing party, because the Socialist and Esquerra reached a deal, but En Comú Podem said no to that deal because they claimed Hard Rock Casino Complex was part of the spending plan, and they voted against it because they are against the project. So that's what made Pere Aragonès call for a snap election.
Okay, so you said Hard Rock, but what is that?
So Hard Rock is a casino complex that is planned to be built in Saló, near Puerto Aventura Amusement Park in Tarragona. And it's been going on since at least 2012, after Sheldon Adelson wanted to build Eurovegas here in Catalonia. The project didn't go through, then it became Barcelona Wall, it didn't go through either, and now it's become Hard Rock Casino Complex, which will include hotels, swimming pools, and obviously casinos. And half of the population is in favor, half against, and political parties are also divided on their opinion.
Mm-hmm. And one of the parties that is very much in favor of a Hard Rock is the Catalan Socialist Party, which is led by Salvador Illa. Gerard, can you tell me a little bit what the party is all about?
So the Socialists, led by former health minister, Spanish health minister Salvador Illa, they say that Catalonia needs to have a backtrack, an excellent backtrack for people to come again, for people to focus on education policies, health issues, as well as building new housing. And what he claims, and the Socialist claim, is that the government in Catalonia should be focusing on working on public policies that are excellent for its citizens.
Mm-hmm. And where do they stand in terms of independence?
So the Socialists are one of the largest unionist parties in the Catalan parliament. In fact, it's the largest party in the chamber at the moment, and they are against the independence of Catalonia.
A party that during the past legislature has collaborated with the socialist government in Madrid and also caught a lot of flak for it among the pro-independence bloc is Esquerra Republicana, the Republican left. And this is the party of the current president, Pere Aragonès. Gifre, tell me a little bit about Esquerra Republicana.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, it's a pro-independence party. It's been around for 90 years, for almost 90 years. So it's like the traditional pro-independence left-wing party. And now, well, they are being seen as like the most moderate pro-independence party, not the hardliner party, because, you know, after the 2017 failed independence push, they decided to shift a little bit their strategy, not so much confrontation with Spain. That had been tried, it didn't work, let's say, and they ended up with their party president in jail. And ever since 2017, they've been trying to find agreement with the Spanish government led by the socialists. And, you know, that's a little bit where they are now, you know, pro-independence, moderate, pragmatic, willing to talk to Madrid.
Yeah, and on the other side, the ones that were pragmatic before are considered unilateral now, which is Junts més Puigdemont per Catalunya, who their candidate is former President Carles Puigdemont, who left Spain in 2017 after the independence referendum. And Puigdemont is claiming that they never got to finish the work that they started to do, and that's why being independent from Spain or splitting from Spain is the best way to finish what they started.
And that's why they, sometimes it seems they hate each other almost. They are at odds, you know, because they both want independence, but in very different strategies or manners.
And in fact, Esquerra and Junts have also been opposite on other ideas, such as, for example, Esquerra, left-wing party, Junts, a right-wing center party. They are more pro-business and pro-corporate investment than Esquerra is.
Yeah, I see. The next party running for elections this year is the far-right Vox.
Yeah, exactly. Vox, the Spanish far-right, has a message a little bit more critical of Catalonia's reality. For example, Ignacio Garriga, their candidate to become president, says that Catalonia is at its worst, that Catalonia is leading the worst rankings of security, of education, of health. So their point of view is a little bit different than what we've been talking about so far.
And I think it's worth mentioning, too, that they are, like, strongly against migrants. They have this narrative against migrants and so on. They are, like, very critical on irregular migration.
Mm-hmm. And from one extreme to another, we have the anti-capitalist, pro-independence, popular unity candidacy, which in Catalan is called CUP. And this party stands out because the candidate, Laia Estrada, she is the only one running as presidential candidate who is running for the first time. But the question is, Gerard, is Estrada totally green in terms of political experience?
Well, not really. In fact, Estrada was the councillor for the southern town of Tarragona, near where the Hard Rock Casino is set to be built, from 2015 until 2021, when she was elected member of parliament for Tarragona. And since then, she's been quite vocal against the Hard Rock Casino, but also on other policies affecting Tarragona. And she says that voting CUP is quite essential to defend a quality public health system, a quality school, for Catalan language to be protected in school, but also everywhere. And they say that CUP is the one that guarantees that housing is a right rather than a privilege.
I see. And another left-wing party is the Comuns, which was before known as En Comú Podem, and now they're the coalition called Comuns Sumar. So, Guifré, what are their values?
Well, Comuns Sumar shares a part of the manifesto with CUP. They are like left of the traditional left, we can say. So they are willing to expand public services, to support public state schools, public health. So a little bit like CUP.
Can you tell me a little bit about what the difference is between them and CUP? Something about the independence.
Correct. That's a little bit the difference, main difference. So Comuns are not the pro-independence party. Not that they are like strongly against either. They are willing to hold an independence referendum in Catalonia. And the other difference between Comuns and CUP is that they are part of the Spanish government. They are the junior partner of the Spanish government, and this also conditions a little bit their position in Catalonia.
Mm-hmm, I see. And the next party is really fighting for survival in Catalonia.
Well, Liberal Ciudadanos, their campaign has been circled around stopping or arresting Carles Puigdemont and Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez, because their slogan is Deténlos, stop them or jail them, which could be translated as in English. But we need to take into account that Ciudadanos was the top of the polls in 2017. It was the party with most votes in the Catalan parliament. And now polls predict that Ciudadanos will finish May 12 empty-handed with no representative across Catalonia whatsoever.
Yes, and what they're saying is that the Conservative People's Party is going to be the party that is going to take the votes that, well, before went to Ciudadanos, right?
Yeah, exactly. In fact, PP, the People's Party, used to be quite a big party in Catalonia, but now they are coming back, we could, at least according to polls, And their goal is to lower taxes, lower inheritance tax, well, even make it disappear. And one of Alejandro Fernandez, the candidate, most loved taxes, which he hates and he wants to get rid of as soon as possible, is the tax on carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm. And worth saying that because the People's Party is like very clearly unionist party, such as Ciudadanos too. So this is one of their top goals, like preventing upper independence government.
So it's clear from this run-through of different parties that are running that one of the central questions in this year's Catalan election is the issue of whether Catalans should look towards Madrid and Pedro Sánchez. But last week, Pedro Sánchez threw a bomb, basically, when he announced that he would take a couple of days off while he considered leaving the Spanish government after a corruption investigation into his wife's business dealings had been opened, initiated by the extreme-right trade union group Manos Limpias. But on Monday, he announced that he would, in fact, stay.
He decidido seguir. Seguir con más fuerza si cabe.
So this decision of staying, will that affect the outcome or the voter turnout in the Catalan election?
To be honest, no one knows. We haven't seen polls saying one thing or the other yet. And one thing is clear, the campaign was like based or a lot of the focus was on Carlos Puigdemont because he said that he would return to Catalonia once the election is over. And all parties were commenting on that. But this is no longer the case, you know. Now we are all talking about Pedro Sánchez's last week drama, we can call it. So I would say we don't know and things can shift.
Things can still shift. There's still a week to go. We won't know until the end what's going to happen. And now let's travel back to 2021, the night of the election.
It all started amid the COVID-19 pandemic, with millions of Catalans casting their ballots wearing face masks. On January 14, 2021, the Socialists topped the poll, but pro-independence parties got 52% of the votes.
Y las urnas han dit que Catalunya és independentista.
The polls have spoken, June's candidate in 2021, Laura Borràs, said. Catalunya favors independence, and tonight pro-independence parties have won. While liberal unionist Ciudadanos shared the feeling of sorrow many Catalans in favor of the constitution had that night, Inés Arrimadas said, as the pro-independence parties were strengthened. We won the election, socialist candidate Salvador Illa said the following day. We have 33 representatives and we are the political party with the most popular support. 6 weeks passed from mid-February to March 31st and we see Esquerra Republicana de Catalunya candidate Pere Aragonès attempting to be named the next president, with no luck. It was not until May 21st, 2021, when Aragonés was finally voted in as president with the support of 74 members of parliament. During his first month in office, on June 21st, 2021, the Socialists pardoned the 9 jailed independence leaders for their role in the 2017 independence referendum. 2 days later, these leaders walked out of prison. On his exit, social activist Jordi Cuixart said that they would continue peacefully demonstrating, as it was their right, against all branches of the executive, legislative and judiciary powers. After summer, a negotiating table was held to discuss the independence push, a meeting between the Catalan and Spanish governments. If we really want for it to be a truthful dialogue and for the issue of the conflict to be solved, we will need time, as our current positions are very far away from each other. This is Pedro Sánchez, Spain's prime minister, who made a statement after meeting with Aragonés and cabinet members. However, Junts members were not part of the discussion. While Junts wanted party representatives to be involved, the Catalan president only invited cabinet members to join. At the time, in September 2021, former Catalan president Carles Puigdemont said that a significant part of the independence movement was not sitting at the table, as they were not welcome.
No hi és convocada, no hi és acceptada.
It is mid-April 2022, amid Easter week, and the New Yorker magazine publishes a Citizen Lab investigation report announcing that around 60 pro-independence figures, including several Catalan presidents, were targeted with Pegasus spyware. All eyes go straight to the Spanish government.
Les coses no poden continuar igual.
The situation cannot continue as it is, Catalan president Pere Aragonès and one of the targeted victims said. The espionage cases are an attack on the trust required for political relationships with Spain, he said.
Això no és un conflicte.
This is not a conflict between the Catalan and Spanish governments. It is a conflict between the dark state and the rule of law, and Comú Podem's Jessica Albiach said.
We need to know the truth behind it, and for those behind it to take responsibility, she added. But the political year was turned upside down when, in September, junior coalition partner Junts announced their plan to ask Pere Aragonès to submit himself to a motion of confidence.
Li demanarem que se someti una qüestió de confiança al Parlament de Catalunya.
24 hours later, on September 2022, the Catalan president Pere Aragonès replied to their coalition partner.
Davant de la situació generada i la pèrdua de confiança.
After losing trust, he said, "I hereby inform you that I have decided to sack Vice President Jordi Puigneró from his role." Junts did not take long to respond, as in early October, the party left the cabinet, leaving Esquerra governing in a minority for the rest of the term.
It is obvious that Junts wins,
and Pere Aragonès loses, Laura Borràs, president of the party, said to a room full of journalists on October 7, 2022. But more political surprises were coming before the end of the year. During an interview with Spanish TV La Sexta, Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez announced his plan to reform the penal code and the crimes of sedition. One of the crimes pro-independence figures were tried for in 2019.
Para reformar el delito de sedición.
The Catalan president celebrated what he called a success.
To repeal the crime of sedition. This comes as a result of the negotiation process we have established with the Spanish government to resolve the political conflict.
The final vote in Congress took place on December 15, 2022, with the People's Party spokesperson Cuca Gamarra saying that the reform of the penal code and erasing the crime of sedition was just a way for politicians to legislate for other politicians to be above the law. The year ended with a Catalan budget deal between En Comú Podem and Esquerra Republicana, which was later backed by the socialists. Fast forward to the aftermath of the local elections in May, Esquerra lost its presence in many city councils, but the socialists had a bad day across Spain. That pushed Pedro Sánchez to call a snap election for July, which resulted in him needing deals with Catalan pro-independence parties to continue as prime minister.
Amb nosaltres no provi de temptar la sort.
Do not try your luck with us, Mr. Sánchez, Miriam Nogueras, MP in Congress for pro-independent Junts, said on November 15th. It will not work. Your speech was not brave, she added.
Els nostres vots.
Our votes had a cost, an amnesty, a negotiation, the full transfer of the Rodalies commuter train network, and to correct the fiscal deficit, Esquerra Republicana's Gabriel Rufián said. This was the price.
Aquest era el preu.
2024 has been a little bit different, especially from what Aragonès had in mind. He wanted to finish the term and for the election to be in February next year, but it was not possible. Some of the challenges of the first month have been the worst results in school in Catalonia's history, an ongoing drought, and a large farmers' protest across the territory. The big problem for the Catalan president, however, was on the political side. Esquerra had reached a deal with the socialists for the 2024 budget and tried to pursue it and En Comú Podem to join them, but they voted against it.
Si vostè rectifica, si vostè surt aquí,
if you rectify and say clearly that you will stop the hard rock, we will withdraw our amendment. It is still possible, and it depends on you, Jessica Albiach from En Comú Podem said in Parliament ahead of the vote. The no from En Comú Podem meant that the spending plan did not go through, and Aragonès had to decide. He called a snap election.
He decidit convocar eleccions al Parlament de Catalunya per al proper 12 de maig.
Right, thanks for that. That was some great reporting, Gerard. It's really safe to say that the last 3 years have been really, well, extraordinarily eventful.
Yeah, that's clear. That's, as usual in Catalonia, I have to say.
And something that we have briefly touched upon is the expansion of the airport in Barcelona. And then also there's this debate about the 2030 Winter Olympic Games.
Yeah, well, let's start with the Winter Olympic Games because it was kind of an international impact. Aragon, the neighboring region of Catalonia, and Catalonia tried to host the 2030 Olympic Games. They were bidding for it, but there was a disagreement between the Aragonese government and the Catalan government. But even inside of Catalonia, as usual, what a surprise, there were disagreements between Esquerra, Junts, and other political parties, because some wanted to host the event and others decided no, and they were against it. Some similar situation also happened with the airport expansion. So, for example, Junts, the junior coalition partner at the time in the government, was in favor of expanding Barcelona Airport to make it an international hub, while Esquerra, their senior partner, was completely against it. And because the Spanish government was waiting for an agreement between Catalan politics and Catalan social organizations, they decided to pull out their investment plan of billions of euros to the Catalan airport, just because there was no clear decision on what to do for the future.
Okay, so in some terms, we could say that big projects, they come to Catalonia to die.
So far?
Yeah, so far.
The latest ones we've been discussing, pretty much that's the case. You know?
I'm sorry, that is a very controversial thing to say, especially when you're sitting in a room with two Catalans.
No, but let's embrace the drama, no worries.
And we've talked about the established parties that are running, but this year there are actually two new pro-independence parties in Catalonia, two very different ones.
Well, the first one is Alianza Catalana. People will know it because of its leader, Silvio Riols, who won the mayorship in Ripoll in May 2023. And it's a far-right Catalan party in favor of unilateral independence. They want to lower taxes and make sure that the industry comes back to Catalonia. In fact, their slogan is Salvem Catalunya, or Let's Save Catalonia. And they are clearly, probably their biggest policy, or what people know it more for, is their tackle against migration. They are completely against migration. They are a zero tolerance to crime, against Islamic radicalism, as well as, on other levels, feminism. They are kind of against it.
It would be the first pro-independence far-right party that gets into parliament.
And the other party is Alora.
Yeah, it's another pro-independence party led by Clara Ponsatí. She's a former education minister for Junts party. Until now, she's been MEP in Europe, in Brussels, along with Puigdemont. But she says, you know, she and her party, Alora, say that not enough is being done to achieve independence, and too much talking with Madrid is carried out, so they want like an independence now and unilateral, because this is the only way out and it's impossible to persuade Spain for an agreed referendum or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time to get out our crystal ball and talk about who we think is going to win the election.
Well, I will not say it personally, but according to polls, the socialist, the Partit Socialista de Catalunya, led by Salvador Illa, is expected to win by 40 seats, more or less, depending on the poll. And similar situation to what happened in 2021, where Salvador Illa came first, but then the pro-independence main groups, main parties, Esquerra or Junts, are disputing the second and third position. But, however, in 2021, Illa came first, Aragonès came second, but then a pro-independence coalition government forced Salvador Illa to be leader of the opposition and the pro-independence parties to govern.
So one of the keys here is to see whether the pro-independence parties are still able to get the absolute majority, whether they would find common ground to create a joint government, because remember, their joint government collapsed, you know, a couple of years ago. And also, who between the pro-independence party would come first, Junts or Esquerra? And on the other hand, whether maybe Esquerra or Junts could consider, like, no, look, we are going to support the socialists, even though they are not in pro-independence, because there's no other alternative or whatever. You know, I think this election is quite open. And talking about blocs, like in the previous ones, like pro-independence unionist, doesn't work 100% anymore. I've got the feeling.
All right, well, so we will just have to wait patiently. And in the meantime, it's time for the Catalan phrase of the week. And Gerard, what is it this time?
Déu-n'hi-do.
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 What does that mean?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. And you use it when something is really, really shocking, right? Well,
exactly. Shocking, you are surprised, or unbelievable. It's either way, positive or negative, or both. It works.
When we listen to the summary of the last 3 years, well, many, many times, I thought, déu-n'hi-do. And that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. Please do subscribe to Filling the Sink wherever you get your podcast, if you haven't already. Thanks to you, Gerard. Thanks to you, Gifre, for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks to you.
And next week, we'll be back again with another episode of Filling the Sink. On behalf of the team here at Catalan News, I'm Lia Villaiva, wishing you a great weekend. Fins aviat. Adeu.